The Trinity is the hardest, it's the most mysterious of all of our dogmas, but it is absolutely the central mystery of our faith. That is confirmed by the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in paragraph 234. You should be able to remember that. You might recall the story about how St. Augustine of Hippo was struggling to figure out the Trinity. His work on the Trinity, De Trinitate, was the first great work of systematic theology ever written in Latin. And there is an often depicted moment. I like to think that it's true, but it came out of medieval imagination, really. But there's an often depicted moment in paintings and so forth where Augustine is having a dialogue with a childlike figure at a beach on a seashore. The story is told about how Augustine encounters this child trying to put, with a seashell, trying to put the sea into a little hole in the beach. And Augustine tells the child, who's really an angel, of course, "This is impossible." And the child responds to Augustine that the project of trying to grasp the Trinity with human reason is more impossible still. So let us just simply marvel at the mystery. We should always try to understand mysteries, but sometimes they are just going to just remain magnificent and mysterious. And one day we will have an opportunity to see this mystery face to face. We won't have to grope for it anymore, like Paul talks about, as if in a glass, darkly, looking, searching, as if in a fog for it. One day we will be able to see this clearly, face to face. This is something that we should all desire. Now, there are lots of different ways in which we can try to describe the Trinity in human terms or with analogies and so forth. And in pulpit after pulpit all over the United States today, priests are going to the zoo with trying to describe the Trinity. They slip into modalism or tritheism or all sorts of different things. Well, here's a way, based on Augustine's own teachings, that we can remember what the Trinity is like. And there's no other way for me to do this than to read it quickly, swiftly. Just let it wash over you. "In the mystery of the one and threefold nature of God, we believe that from all eternity, before material creation and time itself, the one God desired a perfect communion of love, and therefore expressed himself in a perfect word. This was always so, in an absolutely all-embracing single instance of being in which there can be no distinction of past, present, or future, no sequence of events in the way we observe things, bound in matter and time as we are. The word which God uttered beyond and outside of time was and is a perfect self-expression containing all that God is, perfectly possessing every characteristic of the speaker, being, omniscience, omnipotence, truth, beauty, and personhood. Thus, from all eternity, there were always in perfect unity the divine persons, the God who spoke the word and the word who was spoken, the God who generates and the God who is generated, true God with and from true God, God begetter and God begotten, distinct Father and distinct Son, having the same indivisible divine nature. There was never a time when this was not so. These two persons eternally regard and contemplate each other. From all eternity they knew and loved each other, each embracing the other in a perfect gift of self-love and of self-giving. And since a self-gift of these perfect divine persons, distinct while having one divine nature, is a perfect and mutual self-gift, perfectly given and perfectly received, the very gift between them also and contains all that each of the persons have, being, omniscience, omnipotence, truth, beauty, and personhood. Thus, from all eternity, there are three divine persons, having one indivisible divine nature, God the Father, God the Son, and the perfect mutual self-gift of love between them, God the Holy Spirit. This is the foundational and saving doctrine that we believe as Christians, and which we celebrate on Trinity Sunday. Now, sometimes I will talk about the meaning, the significance of the whole arc of the liturgical year. And sometimes this arc of the liturgical year can also be compared to what we do in Holy Mass and its different stages. Now, at the very end of Holy Mass, what happens? We have an ite, Missa est, and then you are sent out into the world to live your Christian Catholic vocations according to the doctrines and the formation that Holy Church has given you and strengthened by the sacraments. Ite, Missa est, and off you go. But sometimes after great feasts or certain special occasions, we will stop before going out and we will sing a chant called the Te Deum, which is a great hymn of praise to the Holy Trinity. Well, similarly, what we have done in the liturgical year is we have celebrated great mysteries. We have had an arc from Advent through Christmas and then Epiphany, and then we had another arc from Lent all the way through to Pentecost, and Paschal Tide, Easter season, ended yesterday after yesterday's Mass, Saturday of Ember Week, which is the octave of Pentecost. And now we move into ordered time, the time after Pentecost. But before we do that, we have this beautiful feast of the Holy Trinity. And it makes sense because we've explored various mysteries about how the Father and the Son are related to each other. And then the Son ascends to the Father and then pours down the Holy Spirit in a manifestation liturgically of all three persons of the Trinity. And just as at the end of a Mass you are sent out into the world to live your vocations properly, so too in the liturgical year we take all of these things that we have learned from the mysteries and then we begin to apply them in concrete ways throughout the rest of the year until the arc comes around again and we begin again with Advent and a new liturgical year. So in a sense, the octave of Pentecost and the Saturday Mass, the final Mass of that great arc of these different mysteries, is the Ite, Missa est, while today we rest and we sing the Te Deum Laudamus, just as we might do at the end of various Masses. The liturgical year has a mirror, shall we say, in all of the different phases of Holy Mass. It's one way to look at it. So as we contemplate the mystery of the Trinity with great awe and wonder and gratitude, we should also have a sense of longing, because one day we are going to see the Holy Trinity face to face. Please God, we will see Holy Trinity face to face. And we will reflect for eternity the glory that is the Trinity in a never-ending spiral-like dance of praise and joy. But even before that, in our own actions, our own words and deeds, we should try already to begin to reflect the future glory that we hope to share. In everything that we say and that we do, let the Trinitarian character, the Trinitarian relationship that begins within us in baptism and is deepened with the other sacraments, shine out so that everyone around us may see the glory of God reflected in our words and in our deeds. And may God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.